welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise God we're able to be together again. And with the Lord's help, we're going to continue right on in a message I started yesterday on the secret of abiding joy. Beloved, if we ever needed joy, it's in the hour in which we're now living. In fact, before I start sharing the scriptures, let's take a moment to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we are living in desperate times. And Lord, you promised you would not give us more than we can bear, not only in our individual lives, but Lord, I believe the body of Christ is rising as a glorious warrior bride, that she will be able to go forth and proclaim the word of the Lord. No matter what is going on, Lord, you have accomplished the victory at Calvary, and Lord, you have commissioned us to proclaim the good news. And Lord, good news is happy news, it's joyful news. And the wonderful news is, Lord, that if we will put our trust in you, that you will perfect all that concerns us. You will protect us. You will transform us. You will give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. So, Lord, for every listener right now who's joining their heart with me, Lord, you see the personal, individual things that they're confronted with. Father, let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Let them be able to see from a divine perspective that you are in control, that you're going to give them everything they need, that this is everything is just coming to pass. Nothing is to stay except your eternal word and principles. Thank you, Lord, for an impartation of your anointing and your joy right now. And Father, open the scriptures to our heart that we might see that others have walked this way before us. Jesus, he endured the shame of the cross, the suffering, the sorrow, the ridicule, the reproach for the joy that was set before him. And so, Lord, we have a glorious future ahead. And help us, Lord, to keep that perspective that, Lord, we are yours and nothing can separate us from your love. Father, we thank you for it in the glorious, majestic name above every name, the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. Well, as I was sharing on yesterday's broadcast, and let me just say, at any time you miss a broadcast or you'd like to rehear it, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org, click on the UCM broadcast, and they are archived there. You can listen anytime at your convenience if you have the internet. And so what I was sharing yesterday, poor Habakkuk, he was in a strait. He was having some moral dilemmas like, Lord, how can he, of course, he prophesied the Babylonian captivity, and he was actually living to see it with his own eyes, and he couldn't understand, even though there were those wicked in Zion, yet these wicked nations who were much more wicked than Judah, how God could allow that. And God is assuring them that his purposes are going to be fulfilled. He was going, and then of course Habakkuk, as God deals with him, he understands that God's wisdom, his judgment is just, and also that the wicked Chaldeans, they're going to be destroyed, and that at the very end, God's people will inherit the earth. And that's our promise from the word of God. The meek shall inherit the earth. God will triumph over his enemies. The wicked will perish if they will not turn to God. And so, as we looked at the end, that last verse of the second chapter, the prophet declares, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." be still and know that I am God. And when we will really come into that place, the prophet learns, as each one of us do, that God is on his throne, that he is just, that he's holy. And just like the prophet Habakkuk, we will come to God in a place of faith that there won't be any more questionings, there won't be any more reasonings, there won't be any more doubt, but we will know that he is God and we are his and he is in control. And so there's a place of peace, a place of surrender, a place of submission. And so Habakkuk starts to praise the Lord. So let me begin reading now in chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. And this is the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigeonoth. That's quite a word, isn't it? Oh, Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Praise God. And that's certainly a wonderful prayer that we can pray. There is wrath. There are the judgments of God that are and will be poured out upon the earth, such as has never been seen in the time of the great tribulation. But let us pray for God to remember mercy, because he is a merciful God. He goes on to say, O Lord, I've heard thy speech. And so what do we see here? The prophet had come to realize that it was necessary for Judah to be punished and to go into captivity. And when he learned that he could not pray for deliverance from it, he then prayed that God would give them grace sufficient in it. If God would not withdraw the punishment, then his prayer was that God would not withdraw himself. This should be our prayer. You know, beloved, we're living in perilous times, and our hearts should be so desiring for an ever closer walk with God, a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Lord. And I've been so grieved at really the spirit of some of the Christians in the body of Christ. For example, in the matter of the rapture, there's pre-trib, there's mid-trib, there's post-trib. And I've seen on the internet, you can see some of the most horrific things on the internet. There's a dear brother, I have been several times in his services at our minister's fellowship, and he is definitely post-trib, and there's some just horrific things. He's a false prophet. And you might ask, well, Sister Glass, what's your opinion? Are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Well, let me just say this. I am going to answer that question with a reply that I heard years ago from a wonderful woman of God. Her name is Iverna Tompkins. She is a powerful preacher. She's the blood sister of Judson Cornwall. And she was asked that question. She said, Tompkins, she also had a wonderful sense of humor. She said, when they would ask, you know, are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? And her response was, whatever preacher I heard last. And so, beloved, that's going to be my stance. There are very persuasive arguments on either side, and I will leave that debate to biblical scholars and prophecy teachers who are much more brilliant and educated than I. My response to you, beloved, is just whatever it is, we need to be ready. And so, beloved, that's our position. That's my position, regardless of where we are. And also, we should, you know, there's such a critical judgmental spirit by so many Christians. They attack one another. I hear it sometimes on the local broadcast. And beloved, that is not our place. Leave it to God. If someone is not preaching a false gospel that Jesus is not the only way to salvation, that's another matter. We're not to compromise the doctrine of the church. But nonetheless, as far as positions, interpretations of Scripture, you know what? Let's leave that with God. Let's not be divisive. Let's not argue one with another. But let us come together in the bonds of unity. That's what God is wanting. Habakkuk goes on to say, he said, revive thy work in the midst of the years. That's literally, to translate, it means to preserve or make alive thy work. That's where our focus needs to be. God had a declared program of judgment on Judah and then on Babylon. But in the midst of those years of calamity, the prophet is praying, Lord, melt their hearts. Revive thy word in those hearts. Make them ready against the day of their deliverance. In the midst of those years, when your wrath, Lord, is being displayed, remember your mercy. What an understanding of God is displayed in this prayer. In the beginning, he thought he saw injustice in God, but now he's satisfied that God's ways, though maybe not fully comprehensible, are still best. Do you believe that, beloved? Even though God was still angry with his people, God is a God of abounding mercy. And shouldn't we pray in a similar fashion? Godlessness abounds everywhere. There's apostasy in the church. There are those who are denying the virgin birth, those who are openly ordaining homosexuals. You know, we need to be, current with our culture. Beloved, we need to pray, Lord, revive your work in the midst of these closing days of time. So many are lukewarm. So many are apostate. So many are compromising. But Lord, remember mercy. Revive thy work in the midst of these years so that there may be preparation in the hearts of your people, those that are named by your name, that we will be ready for your return, whenever that is. Beloved, we need to understand that we're living in the closing moments of time, and our hearts need to be right. Let us leave judgment with God. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown by, and my heart is so full. I've got so much to share with you, but I invite you to tune in tomorrow, and we're going to continue as we hear what this discourse of the prophet Habakkuk, that he, in this place of understanding, in this place of resignation and submission, he is submitting to God, and he is strong and powerful in the Spirit of God. That's where we need to be, beloved. Amen. Well, if you need some strength in the Lord, if you need a new anointing of joy in your life, won't you write, and I'll pray with you, and you will see that God will give you the victory. I don't care how the devil's made you try to feel. You might feel like giving up, like it's hopeless, but beloved, don't accept those lies. There is victory in Jesus. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Praise God. Well, I must close. Thank you for listening. I do love you so very much. And I'm thankful for my spiritual family, my radio audience, as well as UCM partners. Thank you for your prayers, as well as your financial help. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,